out of all the people that God has blessed. I see the men in this room. Hey, you know, we're just doing our thing. Y'all stay blessed now, okay? All right.
Just to gain this life's reward.
Things and streets of gold. Can you imagine somewhere where life will never end? No one ever grows old.
Any older.
Oh, my brother, please go
with me.
If what I live for, a place where love will never cease. Willing to die for, yeah. Heaven is where I wanna be.
Good morning, and welcome to Gospel and More as JJ fades from the scene, and we want to thank him for his fine work here every Sunday morning. We now invite you to stay tuned for an Islamic point of view here on KBOO 90.7 Portland.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم نفسي بالتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول بحق سبحانه ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه إن الله بالغ أمري قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And surely the real winner in the day of judgment is the one who has taqwa. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwa, al-khawf wa raja, that we fear Allah Azza wa Jal and we hope in the mercy of Allah. And we surround ourselves with the consciousness of Allah Subhanahu. Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to us in his mighty book concerning the fruits of taqwa, concerning what comes out of the consciousness of Allah. In Surah At-Talaq, Allah has told us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And whoever has the consciousness of Allah, then Allah will make a way out for him and provide for him from where he knows not. And whoever depends upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient. Surely Allah will reach his purpose, and Allah has made a limit for everything. O you who believe, it is reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would come out on the day of Jumu'ah and he would address the people, that his eyes in some occasion would become red, his voice would raise, and he would speak to the people as though there was an army just in back of them about to attack them. And so the khutbah of Jumu'ah in the time of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was one of relevance to what is happening around. And the description is so beautiful, because he said it is almost as though an army is there. And you know how serious a person would be if he knew there was an enemy force just right in back of the mountain. And so today, I would be remiss, I would not be fulfilling my duty to you, if I taught you how to make wudu. Although wudu is crucial for us, there are things happening now around us which are becoming more and more critical, and which make it compulsory for all Muslims, young and old, to become aware of. O you who believe, in the past few days, we have noticed, especially in North America, a major shift in the thinking of people. And this is as a result of the elections in the United States. And it is reported that south of the border, a number of Islamophobic incidents have happened. There are over 400 documented cases of Muslim women, girls being attacked, their hijabs being ripped off their bodies. But not only Muslims. In southern Lehigh, Pennsylvania, in a high school, the white students called the black students cotton pickers. In the Royal Oak Middle School in Michigan, the students chanted, "Build the wall. Build the wall." In Buffalo, New York, close to us, on a college campus, a doll of a black child was found hanging with a noose around its neck. Times are rapidly changing. Even extreme points of Nazi swastikas being painted on the sides of sports auditoriums and high schools. In Queens, New York, and there are many Muslims that we know from our families even in Queens and in Jamaica, New York. In Queens, New York, just 2 days ago, white students got onto the bus and looked at students of color and said, "It's time for all of you to go to the back of the bus. Trump is president." And the most dangerous aspect of this new phenomena that is happening is that the majority of the cases that are happening are cases of people between kindergarten and the 12th grade. This is the majority of the cases. So this is a young generation inheriting an idea of evil. And in thinking about this concept of people of color forced to the back of the bus, It reminds us of incidents that have happened in the world, some that Muslims were directly involved in. In South Africa, the apartheid regime, the Afrikaner apartheid regime, enforced racial segregation upon the people, and they made it law. But even though they had one of the most powerful militaries in the world, even though they were infused with a racist ideology, resistance came from the masses of the people. The majority African population resisted. The population of Indian origin and Malay origin resisted. Even white people with consciousness resisted. And so it was a collective resistance of people of all different colors, all different nationalities, all different religions, which internally put great pressure on the regime and externally the countries of the world. And so even though it was one of the most powerful racist regimes in history, it was brought down. And it is reported, especially, this is part of our history as Muslims, and we are told to tell the stories, فَقْصُصْ الْقَصَصِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah told us in Surah Al-A'raf, tell them the stories in order that they would think. It is reported in 1652 that the Dutch landed in the Cape, in the Western Cape of South Africa. And they established the city of Cape Town, and they brought with them slaves and political prisoners. Many of these slaves and political prisoners were from Indonesia, now Java and Malaysia, from Southeast Asia, from East Africa, in the Dutch holdings, and they brought them into Cape Town, and they established a slave society. In that slave society, there were Muslims. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great scholar, Sheikh Yusuf from Makassar in Indonesia, after resisting 20 years the colonial rule, he was captured and his people were exiled to different parts of Southeast Asia, and they ended up in Cape Town. They established a community based upon the Quran, based upon maintaining their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and resisting oppression. And it is reported, cases are reported of Muslim Malays standing up in the middle of the night in chains and making tahajjud prayer and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the liberation of their people. And with this struggle, with their dependence on Allah and the struggle, now, alhamdulillah, there are over 150 masjids in Cape Town. There are Islamic universities, Islamic institutions of all types, and they are playing a very important role within South African society after apartheid. And in living amongst the Cape Malay, I used to hear many times at the end of their gatherings, when they were about to leave, they would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they would read from Surah to Yunus, verses 62 to 64. They would read Allah's words, Allah, inna awliya Allah, la khawfun alayhim, wa la hum yahzanun. Alladhina amanu, wa kanu yattaqu. They would begin by saying, now surely the friends of Allah, they shall have no fear, nor they shall grieve. They are those who believe and they have taqwa. They guard against evil. They have the consciousness of Allah. And then they would continue from Surah to Yunus. Lahumul bushra fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah la tabdila li kalimatillah. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. They shall have good news, bushra, in this life and in the hereafter. There is no changing the words of Allah. This is the great achievement. And so they would remind themselves that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya, they have nothing to fear and nothing to grieve. And Allah Azza wa Jal in this verse, in saying la khawfun alayhim, meaning they are not to be afraid of anything in the future, wa la hum yahzanun, and they should not be sad about the past. And so the whole of the spectrum is covered. The past, nothing to be ashamed of. If we have suffered, if we have been enslaved, nothing to be ashamed of. We're in the present, and for the future, no fear. La khawfun alayhim. That they should go forward strong, and by doing this, it is a bushra. There is a bushra, a glad tidings, which is promised to them. These are the words of Allah. You cannot change the words of Allah. And that will be a great achievement for those who hang on to this in times of difficulty. And it is reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in many occasions found himself and his followers under severe pressure. They found it in Badr. They found it in Uhud. They found it in Khandaq. They found it when the Romans came and threatened them in Tabuk. They found it over and over again, even though they were in the Medina period out of Mecca and Islam was being established, they found themselves under tremendous pressure. But the Prophet ﷺ and his companions stood tall and strong. And it is when pressure got difficult, this is when they would take the example of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And it is said in Hunayn, in Ghazwat Hunayn, when the Hawazin had came down on the Muslims, and then they would say, إِذَا هَمِيَ الْوَتِيسِ, and then if things got hot, you could feel the breath of the enemy. They said, we would take refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through our Prophet, peace be upon him. And he stood his ground. And he said to the believers, in many traditions, one important tradition reported in Sahih Muslim, he said to them, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. He said, the strong believer is better and more beloved by Allah than a weak believer. But in both of them, there is good. And so strength, he emphasized to his followers strength. And many of his followers were not 6 foot tall, muscular people. They were very thin, very small physically. But strength in Islam has a number of dimensions. There is spiritual strength, the strength of the soul. And that comes from our iman. That comes from our taqwa, which gives us the internal strength that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the hereafter. We believe in the qadr. This iman gives us internal strength. There is also the strength of character. That what comes out of our iman, strength comes out of this. There is the strength of the mind, which comes from al-ilm, knowledge, and hikmah, wisdom. And so the more knowledge we seek, the more knowledge of the revelation, prophetic knowledge, it gives us that understanding and the hikmah that comes through our sources and through age and experience. This is the strength of the mind. But there is also physical strength, which in some cases is a strong body, but it also means strength in health. That we try to maintain good health in what we are eating and how we are living, how we are carrying on our lives. And the Prophet ﷺ confirmed this, and he said, لَيْسَ شَدِيد بِسُرْعَ إِنَّمَا شَدِيدَ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَدَبِ. He said the strong person is not necessarily the wrestler, but the strong person is one who controls himself when he's angry. So when emotions come, we control ourselves. Self-control under difficulty. And then in that hadith about the strength of the Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ continued. And he said to the believers and to us, احرس على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقول لو أني فعلت كذا وكذا كان كذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then said, احرس. He said, strive and struggle for that which benefits you, and seek your help from Allah, and do not become lazy and weak. If a calamity strikes you, do not say, if I had only done such and such, but you should say, that which Allah has willed has come to pass, and whatever He wants, it will happen. Because surely, if we keep saying if something happened, if that happened, if he lost the election, if this opens up weakness in the believers. There are many benefits from this hadith. After the strength, al-mu'min al-qawi, that we should strive to be strong in all aspects of our life, we should strive for that which benefits us, not to waste time. Strive in things which be a benefit to you, to your family, to your community. Let our activities in our life bring benefit to us. And make al-isti'ana billah. That we should constantly seek our help directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should, above all, we should not become lazy and weak. And we should accept the will of Allah. If Allah wills for a calamity to happen, if Allah wills for difficulty, then we accept that difficulty. Because sometimes in having pain, and many of us have experienced this, in going through sickness, it actually brought us closer to Allah. In losing wealth, it actually helped us to depend more upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we had the money, when we had the wealth, we said, I'm in Canada, everything's okay. They forgot about the reality of life. And so by losing the wealth or losing the health, we became close to Allah. And so in these days, ayam al-shiddah, these days of difficulty that we see rising right in front of our eyes, a number of individuals being raised to office now in the most powerful military force on earth, extreme racist forces. This is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call for all of us. And it's a test. It's the test of our faith. And surely if Rasulullah ﷺ went through this, then we can go through this. If Muslims have suffered under the attack of the Mongols, and they came forward with Sayfuddin Qutus rahimahullah. If they suffered under the Crusaders, and they came forward with Sultan Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi rahimahullah. If they suffered occupation, colonialism, but still came forward, now our world is under a test. And we in North America, we used to think that we are outside of all the trouble. We are now right in the belly of the beast. We're right in the center. What should we do? We need to be calm. Because it is hikmah, it is wisdom, putting things in the proper place, but vigilant. We need to be vigilant as to what is happening around us. Number one, that we build our taqwa. Ataqarrubillah, that we try to come closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayers, in our sadaqah, in our lifestyle. Because it is this taqwa, remember, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. If you have this taqwa, Allah will make a way out for you. Allah will provide for you from where you know not. Two, remember Rasulullah ﷺ. Remember what happened to him. Remember what happened to his companions in Mecca. How they were tortured, how they were killed, how they were driven out of their homes. But they continued on, and even before he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, over 140,000 people came to make the pilgrimage with him when he stood on Arafah. And this is no small numbers. Because if you look at the world population at that time, 140,000 people, especially in the Arabian Peninsula, is a huge amount of people. And that doesn't include the people who couldn't make it to the Hajj. And so even though they were suffering, he was insulted, he was attacked, he held on to the rope of Allah. They were vigilant. They strengthened themselves with iman, strengthened their bodies, strengthened their spirits, and unity. They united. Number three, we should remember we are not alone. We are not alone. There are people of African descent here in the West who are under tremendous pressure and will be under tremendous pressure. The native First Nations people and their pipeline struggle, which is happening in the Midwest, they are under tremendous pressure right now. The Latino people, who are now, it is being said, build the wall, they are under tremendous pressure. There are hundreds and thousands of them who are now, according to the predictions, they will be deported from the country within the first few days of the presidency. There are other minority groups who are also standing up. There are European people, white Americans, who do not accept this. And they are marching in the streets right now. They do not accept this. So we are not alone. We should also remember that America is not Canada. That Canada, here we have people of sense, of reason. We have an opportunity to express ourselves. And we have to take advantage of this and not be ashamed or afraid to express ourselves publicly and be vigilant, because the influence is seeping up. It seeps up through the television, the media. It starts to influence the minds of people. So we, as this community, need to be vigilant. Islamophobia, the illogical fear of Islam and Muslims. We need to understand what this is. Our young people especially need to know what Islamophobia is. It is something which affects the minds of people. It affects their lives. We need to learn about it, to talk about it, and to connect it publicly with racism, because it is a form of racism. To connect it with what is known as anti-Semitism. This is what is done in the past. Bring it up in all different points. Any type of hate speech coming against Muslims, we need to describe it as Islamophobia. Any crimes that are happening against us, it's Islamophobia. And we need to bring it up. Bring it up in our schools, at work, on the streets. Interfaith discussions, if we are talking with other religions, bring it up in the discussion with the other religions.
You have been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. We invite you to tune in every Sunday morning for An Islamic Point of View. This program has been a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland. We now invite you to stay tuned for Pathways.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Privacy versus the Rise of Surveillance Tech on Monday, November 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Northwest Academy in Portland. Cyrus Farivar, author of the book Hobbyist Data, will speak on legal and privacy history and what our rights are currently, and how law enforcement agencies and companies can collect and use our private details, often without our knowledge. Again, that's Privacy versus the Rise of Surveillance Tech with Cyrus Farivar on Monday, November 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Northwest Academy, 1130 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the book launch for Storm, Rack, and Spindrift on Thursday, November 21st from 7 to 8 p.m. at another read-through in Portland. Storm, Rack, and Spindrift is a Scottish and Canadian immigrant drama, a coming-of-age story set in Nova Scotia and Scotland dealing with political disenfranchisement, religious prejudice, and class consciousness. Again, that's the book launch for Storm, Rack, and Spindrift on Thursday, November 21st.